Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pagatri Agro Industries Limited FY26 earnings call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sudhir Bhargava, Investor Relations, Pagatri Agro Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, for taking out time to our earnings conference call. I hope you have reviewed our quarterly and annual financial earnings session that we had uploaded on NSE and BSE. Before we begin our talk, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. So that was our sort of disclaimer, and it's there on our earnings presentation as well. We have with us our senior leadership team, CFO, Mr. Dipin Kapoor, President Operations, Mr. Praveen Malviya, who's the CEO for our IMFL business, Mr. Rakesh Vashisht, who heads sales, he's President, and Mr. D.K. Batra, Director. I now hand over the call to Mr. Dipin Kapoor for his opening remarks.
Hi, afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. I will briefly discuss our operational journey and expansion milestones before handing over to Natwar for the financials. Pagatri Agro was established as a sugar mill in Indri District, Karnal, Haryana, in 1994, and was listed on the BSE the same year. Foreseeing shifts in the market, the company diversified into extra neutral alcohol and ethanol in 2007 by setting up a 78 kiloliters per day distillery adjacent to the sugar mill. In 2010, it further expanded by installing a 12 kiloliters per day malt plant at the same location and began procuring barrels for maturation. This move was driven on the belief that India's demographic and economic growth would fuel demand for premium alcohol, which has proven to be accurate. By around 2014, several alcohol beverage companies in India began sourcing Pagatri's matured malt for use in their own IMFL brands. Recognizing this exceptional quality of its malt, shaped in part by its unique climate with temperatures ranging from 0 degrees to 50 degrees, which imparts distinct flavors, the company identified a strong foundation for building its own brands. This region's drought and climate conditions became a key advantage. Building on this insight and after years of experimentation, consumer feedback and refinement, Pagatri Agro launched its own IMFL brand in 2022, Indri, an Indian single malt. Indri's sales witnessed exceptional growth, surging from 15,000 cases in FY23 to over 100,000 cases in FY24. Building on its momentum, the premium IMFL portfolio with the addition of Kamikara Rum, Kashmir Vodka, which was launched in May 2025, and a revamped Whistler blended whiskey. Our distribution footprint has also strengthened significantly. We are now present across 29 states and territories in India, the CST network, and 29 international markets and 30 regions. To meet surging demand, we significantly expanded operations. The Indri distillery expansion was completed in October 2025, scaling ENA and ethanol capacity from 78 KLPD to 220 KLPD and malt capacity from 12 to 30 KLPD, as well as added barrels for maturation at the Indri distillery. Our greenfield distillery in Mahasamand, Chhattisgarh, with a 200 kiloliters per day capacity, was commissioned in December 2025. Our total distillery now stands at a robust 400 kiloliters per day, comprising of 30 kiloliters per day of malt and 420 kiloliters per day of ENA and ethanol. I now hand it over to our CFO, Mr. Natwar Agarwal, to walk you through our record-breaking financial performance.
Thank you, Dipin. Good afternoon, everyone.
and thank you for joining our first earnings presentation. So FY26 marks a defining milestone for us. We have crossed 1,000 crore sales revenue numbers this year. So it's a milestone, and we are all very happy, and thanks for being with us on that. Talking about the Q4 performance, talking about our Alcobev business, our trajectory of growth continues from previous quarter. This quarter also, our brand portfolio business shown a robust growth of 67% on year-on-year basis, which is from 150 crore to 250 crore this quarter. And it's our flagship brands like Idri, our rum, and our crafted Kashmir vodka. Similarly, our profitability also grew by 79%, which is PBT, from 35 crore to 63 crore. And this is based on the strong premiumization and our sale of our premium products and leveraging few costs. On a standalone basis, revenue grew by 33% year-on-year basis, from 270 crore to 364 crore. Our PBT grew by 17%, from 54 crore to 63 crore. And our PAT grew by 14%, from rupees 40 crore to 46 crore. A couple of announcements also. In a way, we know that we want to be a global LGF company. And in that pursuit, we want to focus on our core brand portfolio. And we've been discussing this and with management approval and board approval yesterday. Now we have filed a scheme of demerger of our sugar business, sugar segment, to demerge into a new entity. So the entire scheme has been filed. KPMG is our partner for this exercise. Once we get a go-ahead from SEBI, we will follow the due process of filing it to NCLT, and we envisage to complete this process by FY27 this year. There is also a change in statutory auditor, which is just a change in the audit firm because of some realignment between the partners. So from Jain Associate to Ratan Kaur and Associate, though it's just a realignment between the partners of the firm, our signing partner will remain same, which is Mr. Krishna Mangwa. Talking about the full year performance now, in FY26, our distillery or Alcobev business grew 42% year-on-year basis, which is 639 crore to 908 crore, led by again our flagship brands and our new brands like Kamikara and Whistler. Our profitability grew by 37%, from 150 crore to 209 crore, which is the fastest growth by any listed alcobev company. On a standalone basis, our revenue grew by 28% year-on-year basis, from 893 crore to 1143 crore. PBT grew by 33%, from 144 crore to 190 crore. And PAT grew by 33%, from 105 crore last year to 140 crore this year. In terms of outlook, outlook looked very robust. We see the demand of our portfolio, and we expect much higher growth percentages in FY27. There are a lot of new product portfolio also in pipeline, which will add to the overall growth trajectory. We also expect Indri plan to generate additional revenue of 250 to 300 crores in FY27 of the capacities which have been come up recently. Talking about our greenfield project Chhattisgarh, we expect Chhattisgarh plant to start getting monetized this year with a capacity of 200 KLPD and generate revenue of about 300 to 400 crore in FY27. Owing to the above factor, we
expect coming financial year FY27 as an exceptional year for us. It's going to be exceptional year where the company is looking to grow at 60 to 70%. As mentioned earlier, we are also in a process of demerger just to focus on the main Alcobev business. Also, in next 3 to 4 years, we expect revenue to grow by 3 to 4 times of the current revenue. We also aspire to be a global brand, just not a domestic brand. So, currently we are a top 15 brand in the world. In a year or two, we'll be in top 10. And next 3 to 5 years, we aspire to be top 5 global brand. So that's the vision and aspiration to take the company and the brand truly a global brand. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ruchika Bhatia from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for this. Congratulations on good set of numbers. But it was great that, sir, you highlighted your vision, your goals for current year. But it would be better if you could just give us a breakup in the IMFL space, given the current existing capacities plus the incremental capacities of malt and ENA. How do you see under IMFL segment the volume growth for Indri, Kashmir, Kamikara and the rest of the whistlers, etc. category? Along with that, if you could also help us understand the distribution pattern in terms of CSD, how much of the revenue comes from CSD, from Horeca, export and domestic, and what are the things that we are doing, you know, to expand to our right audience?
Thanks for asking the question. As I said, that what's happening is we have kind of increased our capacities. Our demand is very robust. We are experiencing a very, very robust demand of our entire portfolio of products, whether flagship Indri, Kamikara or Kashmir. And we continue to see this demand, in coming FY27 also. We will use our current expansion or capacities in serving and fulfilling the demand. So as I mentioned in my commentary that we see a growth of 60 to 70% in our Alcobev business, keeping in mind the growth of our current portfolio. There are a lot of new products pipeline which will add to it. And we have now the extra capacities both in Chhattisgarh and in Indri plant.
Yeah, it would be great if you could quantify, category-wise, like for single malts, your vodka, your blended alcohol, if that's possible.
I think, these kind of a breakup, we don't come up in the forums. That's okay. A matter of internal, internal dimension. But what we can say is overall, we envisage and we are confident to achieving 60-70% growth into the entire Alcobev business.
Okay, sure, thanks. And the distribution, how are we trying to expand? If you could just give us the sales mix of CSD versus Horeca versus the retail and export, and how are we trying to expand each distribution channel?
Yeah, so currently, see, our CSD and Para is about 30% of our portfolio. About 20% or so is export. As I mentioned in our commentary that we just don't want to be a domestic brand. We want to be an international brand. So our vision and roadmap is to achieve around 50% export business in next 3 to 5 years. and to be a top 5 brand in the world. So that's how the vision is, and the roadmap is accordingly same.
Right. And in India, domestic, how are we trying to expand?
Both in terms of WOD, width of distribution, and in terms of depth. And we have recalibrated a team on Horeca. So there will be a bigger focus on Horeca too.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you for asking. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Seven Rivers Holding. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for hosting the call. So my question is on IMFL portfolio, specifically INDRI, which saw a volume from 16% in FY26. And how we have scaled up over the last 3 years, I would say the growth has been a little on the lower side because we were expecting 25, 30 or growth. So listen, what is the difference in FY27? I mean, is there any sort of fatigue happening with the brand? Phase because of this low mid-teen kind of a growth, and what do you expect to change it? What kind of growth?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Shah, but we are losing your voice in between, sir. Can you please check your network?
No problem. If I got the question right, you're specifically asking the growth of INDRI, right? INDRI brands, right?
Harsh, are you around?
No, we have lost the line for Mr. Harsh. Yes. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Dave, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. You know, the previous participant had asked a question around the growth of the entire sort of the IMFL segment. You alluded to a 60% growth. So, capacity in ethanol and liquor. So if you really have to look at, just if you have to look at the IMFL growth, what would that be for FY27?
Yeah, so if I talk particularly for a quarter, our IMFL growth is about 63%. If I talk on an annualized basis, IMFL growth is about 31%.
So, and what are you forecasting for FY27?
FY27, as we said, our overall growth would be 60 to 70%.
And how much of this will be from IMFL?
It will be mainly through IMFL only.
Mainly through IMFL. Okay, got it. Yes. So, the second part of my question is on gross margins. I believe that this particular quarter we had seen a Q1Q reduction in the gross margins. How are we looking at gross margins for the next year? Is there a change in the product portfolio? Should we expect this to be the new sort of steady state margin moving forward? If you could just comment on that, that would be helpful.
Yeah, sure. So if we I'm just going to talk on an EBITDA margin. So if you look at it on a standalone basis, our EBITDA margin has little bit dropped about 300 basis points. That is one of the major factors is because of sugar drop in business. Sugar margins drop, which was 11% EBITDA margin last year and last year same quarter and 2% this year quarter. So one of the main reason is that. And we also, if you look at it, there is always, when you look at quarter to quarter, either last year or previous quarter, there's always a, mix changes, a lot of dynamic changes in the business. So it's difficult sometimes to map quarter to quarter margins. But if you look at the overall EBITDA margin on an annualized basis, which is exactly same at 23.4% last year, and this year also 23.4%. I would like to highlight one more point here, that if you look at our Alcobev business EBITDA margin, which is in the range of, let's say, current year about 31.5%, which is one of the highest margin in any Alcobev competition. So I think that is how we look at it. And we, as we keep expand our premium portfolio and, you know, and new pipeline of premium luxury, so we keep maintaining this kind of EBITDA margins or maybe slightly higher.
Clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiren Harish from Alchemy Capital Market Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations on good numbers. I think just as a follow-up to the you know, previous question, if you could help us, you know, what, you know, while your overall EBITDA margins for the year were same, but in Q4 it was lower. Was it because the mix was significantly different compared to the full year? And how do you see the mix in the current financial year?
I think,
I mean, what's the right way to look at your...
Yeah, yeah. So I've just explained on the to the previous audience, but I'll do it again. So as I said that, as you rightly said that overall our EBITDA margins are same on year-on-year basis, but quarterly somehow one factor is a sugar because of seasonality of the sugar business. Sugar. This
no, no.
Quarter,
excluding sugar. I'm asking excluding sugar just for the Alcobev.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Just
so,
for the,
so I was explaining the overall, then one is the sugar, and the second is from a brand business perspective, we you always get change in terms of how much, you know, in change of product portfolio, quarter, sometime in the quarter to quarter. So this time we see a little bit, you know, more of a distillery sale than the maybe a little bit IMFL. So that could that is one of the reason of little lesser EBITDA margin this quarter. But as I explained, the right way of you asked the right question, how to look at it. I think the right way of looking at it on an annualized basis, an annualized basis, we are maintaining the EBITDA margins similar to last year, in spite of you know, sales growth of more than 40%, and we maintain the same, and we. You know, as we hope to increase, and we hope to increase this year as we increase our premium portfolio offerings with the new products and current expanding the current lines.
So you know, with premiumization in the current year, what kind of range of expansion of EBITDA margin could we expect roughly? If you could guide for some range of improvement over here because of the improved mix.
So one we have, so one is looking at the percentage, and second looking at the overall increase in EBITDA value, right? So I'm just trying to make things clear in terms of how to look at it. So we are looking at clearly in terms of value. So sometimes just a percentage may not be the right metric, but if you are growing in terms of value, that will really a right metric to look at it. So as I said, that we are growing, we are planning to grow about 6-7% in top line, and similar kind of a range we would see growth in terms of a absolute EBITDA. If I do that math, our EBITDA margins will be either the same or maybe 50
bits higher.
Is that answer your question?
Yeah, okay, thanks. And just one last question. You did mention,
yes,
in your opening remarks that there was some realignment between the partners. If, could you just clarify what is this? So I mean, is the CA firm split and therefore you have a different auditor but the same partner signing the balance sheet? Can you just clarify
that?
Yeah,
so... Yeah, yeah. So our current partner who is signing the balance sheet, Mr. Krishnan Mangwa, has came out of Jain Associate, which was his earlier firm, to the new firm, Ratan Kaur. So he has changed the realignment between the, with the old partners. And he's come up with the new firm, with the new partners, which is Ratan Kaur and Ratan Kaur. So we wanted a continuity in terms of our audit and audit partner, and because he understands the business well, he can contribute in terms of, you know, looking at the corporate governance, improving the process. So we wanted to continue with the partner than the firm. So that's the reason we chooses the partner over the firm. We always have the choice to continue with the firm, but we chooses the partner than the firm.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Couple of questions. First is, can you highlight what kind of volumes Indri has done this financial year? It was 1 lakh in FY24 you called out.
No, so Harsh, as we said, we are consistent about this. We don't discuss on individual brands. We talk about the overall Alcobev business. So I think we are consistent in our approach. We don't discuss any brand specific growth or numbers. What we will talk as the overall Alcobev business. Hope you understand this.
Okay, fine. No issues. A question surrounding that, but are we seeing increased competition in the segment? Because some of the other players have also entered in our price point of 4,000 to 5,000 range from a single malt perspective. So is that impacting us, and that has been the reason for a soft growth at 16%?
Well, there is an increase in competition, and we welcome that. That helps the category grow. But that is not the reason. We were also constrained with supplies. As you know, we've expanded our capacities, and we foresee the demand for Indri being far more than we could supply in earlier stages. But yes, this year onwards, those constraints are kind of going away, and we should be able to grow at a much stronger pace.
Sure. And secondly, just a clarification, in our IMFL business, you highlighted that CSD contributes 30% of the revenue, 20% is exports, and balance 50% comes from domestic. Is that understanding correct? Is this mix for IMFL business within the distillery segment, or is this for the entire distillery segment?
So number we talked, yeah, so our, as I said, that our CSD and para contribution is about 30%, and export contribution is about 25%.
So, and this is for the IMFL business?
Correct, correct.
And, okay, so X of this balance from the consumer channel, X of CSD, balance 45-50% comes from domestic
market. Yeah, correct.
Okay. And and what would be our EBITDA margin in IMFL business? Or is it possible to segregate a distillery segment into IMFL and... a balanced business?
I can give you a flavor that, our IMFL EBITDA margins are quite high as we deal in premium, products. So our EBITDA margins are much higher than the industry, so around 45-50%.
Okay. And within the distillery segment, if I spin out IMFL business and the balance business is for only for ENA and ethanol sales, or it also has a malt sale also as part of that, the 400?
We don't do a malt sale. As we said that we are kind of we are facing a robust demand for our flagship Indri brand, right? So we are in fact kind of producing malt every day. So we don't sell malt. The other than IMFL, it mainly consists of your, as you rightly said, ethanol and country liquor.
Ethanol, country liquor. Okay.
Correct.
Fine. And we are guiding for 60%-70% revenue growth in the IMFL segment or at distillery segment level?
Overall, alcohol business.
That is including country liquor and ethanol?
Correct.
Okay. And what would drive, because last 2 years, if we see, we have broadly added around, last year we have added around 250 odd crore revenues, but that was due to this capacity coming up in the country liquor in the Chhattisgarh. But what will drive this such a high growth in IMFL business? Because broadly, we have added 100 crore to 120 crore additional revenue per month, per annum. Now we are guiding for adding almost 300 crore-350 crore revenue on a base of 500 crore. So what will drive this 300-350 crore additional revenue in the IMFL business?
So there are a few things will happen. One, we were constrained by the supplies and capacities, right?
Okay.
So we will be able to use. Now we have done that expansion, both in Indri and Chhattisgarh, right? So that will drive a growth using the capacities. Also, there'll be a lot of new products, right? So that decline will start kicking in from maybe Q1, right? So putting both these factors together will give us the robust growth this year as compared to last year. And we already said that we will see an exceptional growth this year. FY 2027 will mark an exceptional year for us this.
Sure, sir. And on, if you can just highlight on what are our CapEx plans for FY 2027. Are there any pending large CapEx or we intend to do any large pending CapEx?
No, so we don't. So most of the project plans has been done. Now, the CapEx would mainly either to have some more barrels, right? We have around 85,000 barrels currently. We plan to go about 100,000 barrels this year. There could be some warehouse extension to store that barrels, and yeah, some maybe bottling expansion, but nothing major of nature of either Chhattisgarh or Indri expansion we did.
Okay, so overall, what should be the CapEx guidance for FY 2027, ballpark CapEx guidance?
Should not be more than 25-30 crore.
Okay. And somewhere in the presentation, we have also highlighted that we might go for, you know, some inorganic acquisition, will be a opportunity. So this organic acquisition is in which particular segment, and what's the why we are looking for acquisitions? We have healthy growth plans on an organic basis. Just trying to understand.
Yes. So, yeah. So one, inorganic could be domestic or international. We are exploring opportunities either in India or outside, one, and we are exploring all kind of opportunities which could be strategically fit into our portfolio offerings. So there is nothing in particular we have it in mind, but anything which could add strategic depth to our portfolio either in India or international will fit into our scheme of things. And a lot of discussions are happening, so depend, you know, how we
Just trying to understand. Is this on the brand side in the Alcobev and the IMFL business, or it is more on the capacity side of ENA ethanol, or it is
No, it
something?
will be mainly on the brand side.
On the brand side. And we also have some facility in Scotland of malt, or that. Hello?
Yeah, go on.
Do we have any facility in Scotland of single malt?
Not at the moment. Still in the works. Though there's work in progress. We do have the land and the licenses and all the approvals in place. We are starting construction and looking forward to building that distillery over the next couple of years.
Over the next couple of years.
Yes.
Okay. And lastly, this demerger of sugar business into a separate, I think, so a subsidiary, fully owned subsidiary. So what is the intent? Are we looking to sell out eventually this particular business, or what are they, or list it separately, or what are the intent or plans on that particular side?
Yeah, intent is very clear that we want to be a global Alcobev company, right? We want to pool our human and capital resources just for the Alcobev business. So sugar business is like a traditional heritage business for us. So we want to separate it and list it as a separate entity than our Alcobev company.
Go.
And focus on only the Alcobev portfolio.
Sure. That's it from my side at the moment. Thanks a lot, and all the best to the management.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ruchika Bhatia from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So just a follow-up on the previous question. So if you could at least, since the malt capacity has been, increased from 12 to 30 KLPD, so how much of that would rightly be, added to our current year's goal that we have? So how much of that capacity or, the output is matured and available for sale, in terms of volume, if that could be guided?
So I think the maturity of the malt will be at various stages, right?
Right.
So we have enhanced our malt capacity by 40%-50% versus last year. But in terms of maturation, it will be at different stages. What we can say is that this year it will be the growth. We are looking at a growth which I have already given a guidance, and which will kind of fulfill the current demand of our flagship brands.
Okay. But so it'll be close to the growth that we are talking about, that has been grown like 40%-50%. Will that be added to the saleable malt?
Correct, correct.
Okay, thanks. And also, if in India and different channels that we spoke about, retail outlets that we have 25,000+, out of how many of these outlets, it could be a ballpark percentage or number that you can share that, Indri or single malt, the main product is being sold?
Well, the universe has several category of outlets, and most of the A category outlets in the states we are operating, we are available.
How many more such outlets are present that we can keep on adding next couple of years?
No, wherever there is a potential for the price point, we are available. As the economy is growing, the number of outlets is growing, and as it grows, we will be available in all those outlets.
I'm sure we must have done some, work on it, that this much more, category A stores are there that we can try and, sell as many products as possible, especially for Indri.
See, broadly speaking, about the growth in premium segment is about 14%-15%.
Right.
And that is how it is going to outlay into the retail market.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Himani Shah from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand, sir, because your balance sheet also is, your end balance sheets are also out. On your short term...
Please be louder. We can't hear you. Your voice is very low. Please be loud. Yes.
Can you hear me now? Yeah, okay. So on your short-term borrowings, which have jumped about 132%, how much of that is, you know, because of the sugar season working capital versus distillery inventory financing? And what is the expected normalization path, sir?
Thanks for this question. The short-term borrowings are mainly towards the working capital. As we can clearly see, we have grown our sales, so there are debtors added to the balance sheet, and we have increased our malt also, malt inventory also, about 100 CR. So that's also added to the working capital. So both factors put together has been deployed through short-term borrowings. But as we go in FY27, as we grow by 60-70%, we try to bring down this borrowings to the FY26 levels by monetizing the investment both in malt and increasing the sales.
Understood. Sir, and actually you're right, the trade receivables have also moved up. So which channel is kind of driving this increase in trade receivables?
No, it's of course our, MFL business. If you can see, our last quarter, we have added 100 CR of sales in IMFL business versus last quarter. And you can clearly see our, credit period are generally in the range of 70, 80, 90 days. So the entire last quarter incremental sale has added to the debtors for the closing balance sheet.
Okay. So sir, just on the channel side, is this because of state government CSD exports?
No, it's a mix of stuff. Okay. Putting together, our DSO is around 90 days, 80 to 90 days.
Okay. Sir, just on the other side, this could be because of power cost also, but your power and fuel cost has jumped up from last quarter FY25 to this quarter. Is that a one-time ramp up on, because of the cost of the new capacities?
Yes, I think there are some increment, additional or hard cost on terms of commodities like husk and, Nakku. I think it's a temporary phenomena. It's a seasonal phenomena, I would say. It will stabilize as we see, in the next year.
Okay. So next year, it should normalize to levels we saw in FY25. Is that correct, sir?
Correct.
Okay. And sir, on Chhattisgarh ramp up, what KLPD utilization do we expect to exit next year in FY27? And when do we expect the first IMFS FL sales from that facility?
So we will start the sale starting May itself. And as we keep along, we'll keep building it up. We will see maybe in next 6 months full utilization of the entire capacity.
Okay.
And as I said in my commentary, we plan to achieve about 300 to 400 crore business out of Chhattisgarh this year.
Okay. So just on the distillery, I think Indri, someone actually mentioned it earlier, Indri grew by about 16%. Whistler probably grew much faster. Is that a conscious strategy or is it because Indri supply constraints or,
Dipen also mentioned that in the initial part of the year, we were facing few supply constraints. And that's the reason we're doing our expansions, both Indri and Malt. And now in the second half, if you would see that that supply constraint has stabilized. And now on, we will see, good growth because the demand, now we have the capacity. So we will start using the capacities fully year basis this year.
Okay. And so then just to get an idea, what was our blended IMFL realization per case FY26, FY25, and where should we see it going forward in FY27?
Repeat your questions.
So, sir, if you can give us a broad, outlook on IMFL realization per case, how has it kind of, been in FY25, FY26, and what do we expect that to be in FY27? For IMFL.
Yeah, I think the guidance on EBITDA, we mentioned that EBITDA margins would be either similar in terms of percentage. Our absolute number should grow about 60 to 70% in EBITDA, and a percentage either would be same or about 50 bps higher.
Okay. So then on just on the barrel count, what proportion would be used for IMFL versus bulk? And if you can give us some guideline on, how should we look at the revenue or, visibility curve, because you have, you have really well aged it over the years. So what is the visibility on revenue curve for FY28 and, and beyond for, some guidelines on the bulk B2B mold? Yeah.
So, I think you're missing some of the answers or the commentary in between. We have already answered that, that we don't do a bulk bulk malt sale. Currently, we are holding about 85,000 barrel filled. We are planning. I'm sorry? 85,000.
Yeah, 85,000.
Yeah, it will go to 1 lakh. We don't do any bulk malt sale. It will all for bottling for our flagship premium brands. And in terms of guidance, we said that in next 3 to 4 years, we will grow by three to four times from this revenue.
Okay, got it. That's it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsha from Seven Rivers Holding. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So just wanted to understand on the supply chain side, because of the Iran war, the prices of glass packaging materials have gone up by 40-50%. So what kind of inflationary environment are you seeing? What kind of price hike? Of course, alcohol is a regulated business, but what kind of inflation are you seeing and how much can it be passed on?
Like currently, we have medium to short-term arrangements with the suppliers. So, we are not facing that much challenge currently. But scenario continues, depending on what kind of inflation we are looking at it, it all depends. So, either we will renegotiate, do some efficiencies internally into other things and try not to pass it to the customer. But if the situation takes it a little longer, we may think it of passing it. It all depends, right? You understand it's all very volatile situation. Depending how, hardened the rates would be, when it will be, how long it will be. But just to answer you, in a short term and near short term, we have a relationship and arrangement with the vendor. So it's not going to impact. And we'll see from, take it from quarter to quarter.
Okay, understood. And sir, on the alphabet side, when you speak of 60% growth, is that volume growth or value growth?
We are talking volume or value growth.
Value growth. All right. Sure. Got it. Okay. Thank you so much. That was it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pankaj Kumar from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Okay, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, this 60% growth guidance that you have largely this value driven. So, how would be the volume growth in terms of that? Hello. Hello.
Mr. Pankaj Kumar, please go ahead with the question.
I was on mute. Sorry. Yeah. So I was saying that our value growth and volume growth more or less would be similar because we don't do any mass products. We are into premium and luxury segment with similar kind of EDPs. It's all depend, what kind of a launches we have. But broadly speaking, our value and volume growth would be almost similar.
Sir, the question on the overall other brands that you have, of course, Infy's done well that we are seeing over the years. How is the performance of other brands in your love category and the white spirits? How you are doing in that? How is the path ahead? Since you are looking at 3x to 4x kind of revenue, so which are the other categories that you believe will drive those kind of numbers?
We're seeing very good acceptance for our new brands that we've launched in the last couple of years, like Gamikara and Kashmir. For Whistler, there's been a great acceptance with the new branding in place. The new products that we are launching are all going to be more on the premium and luxury side of things. We're exploring different categories, some of the categories that we're not currently in, and also within the categories that we already are in. These are all new products. We can't really comment much on them, but they'll all be in the super premium and luxury sector.
And inorganic acquisitions which you talked about, will that play a significant role in that journey?
Well, we're not completely dependent on that. We do not want to, look at acquisitions just for the sake of it. The idea is to identify high potential categories and brands and we will very seriously consider them depending upon what comes our way. There are some that we are exploring. Hopefully, in the next few quarters, we will have more clarity on that.
And for the next year, FY27, what are the launch pipeline? I mean, broadly, you can highlight on the brands like of your category that you are looking at for the 60% growth that you are looking
at. Sorry, we couldn't hear you properly. Could you repeat that and could you be louder, please?
Yeah, what I was saying is for FY27, how is the launch pipeline and the new brands that we are looking at, which categories the problem we might want to use?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Kumar, but we are unable to hear you, sir. Your voice is sounding muffled.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, so question is on for FY27, how is the launch pipeline in terms of new categories and the brands and how that will play the role in 60% growth guidance? That's my last question.
See, within the new products, there are certain which are extensions or expressions of some of our current product pipeline. That will give us immediate results. But then the new categories that we are coming into or the new products that are completely or new brands that are being launched, we are not really depending on those at the moment to give us that 60 or 70%. Those will give us, they'll take their own time and their own course. So those are more long-term outlook. In the immediate, for this particular financial year, we are focusing more on the growth of the existing products and their extensions and expressions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sudhir Bhargava for closing comments.
Thank you for taking out time and interacting with us on this earnings call. A good day to you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Pegadilei Agro Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.